Following is a one-minute introduction, which will be followed by the treatment. To find out about the founding of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which was founded in 1988 by William and Helen Wright, please navigate to the menu, which is in the top left corner of every page, and select About, which is near the bottom of the menu. If you would like to contact us in a private, secure manner, please send a message, which is obtained from clicking on the Contact button, which is next to the About selection at the bottom area of the menu. This is the end of the introduction. The extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute follows. 39 Household. Number 1. Individualized. 25-07-20-02-53. SH Number 2, Atonement and Eucharist. Wait for reward. Everyone's salvation is an experience that must be worked out by each one individually. Therefore, my focus is on my salvation only. That is the demand of life and love. Life means how I will live my life, and love means I will nurture everything that needs to be nurtured to bring it to fulfillment. That is what life is, with the influence of love. Everything good comes from God directly, and that includes working out my own salvation. God's laws, which are omnipresent, are for the benefit of each one individually, that must be seen individually, revealed in its fullness, practiced, and then the benefit comes forth. We practice it in secret, but the reward comes openly. God is incorporeal. Therefore, God is not a person, and there is no such thing as a person, except if we want to refer to God as person, then God is infinite personality. And personality really means infinite qualities in action. Therefore, God's laws are always in operation because they're omnipresent, and they're always, therefore, working with everyone individually as they are living the laws. That is God working with each one individually, and that is God working with me. I will maintain this standard until the revelation is recognized that the consciousness of God, the Christ consciousness, is demonstrated and therefore My being is the being of the Christ consciousness. I gladly wait for the reward, because the reward comes when I have lived the way I need to live, living all of God's qualities, and I will do this in secret, knowing the reward will come visibly to me within my individual consciousness. I will never be weary in doing good. And that's exactly what living is, doing good. Good is defined by Mary Baker Eddy on page 587 as God, Spirit, Omniscience, which includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing, all qualities of the one and only mind of God. Good is also omnipresent. Therefore, every situation automatically includes the presence of God available to tap in order to replace any suggestion that is not an angel message from God with the exact truth for the particular topic at hand. This not only neutralizes the belief that appears to be present, but it replaces it with truth, which is present. For truth is always real. Anything that is not truth, and that's with a capital T, that means God, is both absent and unreal. This standard of thought follows the wake-up call by Shakespeare, who is quoted as saying, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." That is such an important statement that it is number 2 quote as an introduction to Science and Health, and listed only second to the quote by Jesus, which states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Everything about Christian Science is true. And when we understand what truth with a capital T is, then we have experienced the recognition of the Word, which is what God is, all about God, which of course is always good. We understand the Christ and are practicing it, which is translating, just as described in this prayer treatment,
from whatever appears visibly to the real truth, which is what is described in this prayer treatment. And therefore, we are actively demonstrating, proving that anything unlike God, unlike the consciousness of God, unlike the nature of God, is false, absolutely unreal, and absent. Because only God is present. Because God is omnipresent. What else is included in the definition of good in the glossary, which is the part of the Christian Science textbook titled Key to the Scriptures? The next thing listed in this description, after omnipresence, is omniaction, which is the final term referred to in the definition of good. Since God is good, and good is omnipresent, and omniaction is part of the definition of good, therefore, omniaction is omnipresent. Since omniaction is therefore good, there is a distinct absence of any action that appears to be the opposite of good action. God only knows good, not its opposite, evil, or anything unlike good, no matter what term is used. It's like true or false. It's either true, or if it's not true, it is false. True means it's real. False means it's not existent. Truth is falsity, is an absence of isness. While one is practicing goodness in every moment of life, that standard of practicing goodness includes the realization that the term weariness does not apply to the experience. Because Mary Baker Eddy states in the textbook that God rests in action. God rests during good action, which is the only action that exists. Therefore, the belief of weariness is false. It's a non-entity. It's a non-quality. It cannot even be a suggestion. For man, which is the image and likeness of God, as it clearly states in Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, then man cannot be reflecting something different from its source. And since God is the one and only source of man, man is exempt from the belief of weariness and exempt from every belief that is not a fact of God. Because God's facts are omnipresent. And there's no time, which is only a measurement of limitation, that is a quality of God. So there is not even a single moment, which is defined as being the smallest measurement of time, that can be influenced by a suggestion that is unlike God, and that includes absolutely the suggestion of weariness. For man, reflecting God, also rests in the action of God's goodness. When man is actively reflecting in the action at hand, the qualities of God, that is God working through. It is God's laws, God's rules, God's isness being present, which totally neutralizes and replaces any suggestion unlike God, which means it's not an angel thought, but it's a thought of unreal mortal belief, as are all mortal beliefs. And those are refuted instantly by anyone and everyone that is following the way shower, Christ Jesus, the way he conducted his thoughts, which were the thoughts of the Christ consciousness. Hence, Christ Jesus was given the title of Christ because of his operational experience of reflecting the Christ of God in his consciousness, which was the reflection of the consciousness of God. Flawless. Why? Because the only substance is spirit. So the substance of man's consciousness, as man is reflecting the consciousness of God, is flawless. Because God is spirit, so the consciousness of God is flawless. There's no choice. There's no competition. There's no opposition that can be real. And if it's not real, then it must be refuted at the onset of the suggestion and replaced with the truth about God, which is the truth about whomever is following this standard. Could an individual think about what is possible and what is not possible? That's a mathematical calculation. That is measuring the infinite with the finite. Is there anything about God that is finite? Is there any isness that is real that is finite? Could infinity include finity? How could it possibly? The statement, everything is possible to God, is exclusively oriented to God being infinite. And there's nothing about the word or the quality of infinity being confined to anything that is finite. Anything that is finite is not reality. Therefore, it is unreal. There is nothing that is real that could be confined to its opposite. As stated, one of the qualities of God is omnipotence. Where is the power going to come from to even bring forth the suggestion of something unlike God? It has no source. Therefore, it cannot come forth. What brings things forth? Spirit. And spirit is flawless, which is the opposite of every single characteristic of anything unlike God. Everything like God is flawless, and if it's not flawless, it is unreal. It's absent, not present, and therefore must be exposed, rooted out, and replaced with reality in thought. Because that's the only place anything can be, is in thought. And if we realize God is the only mind, the only thought we want to entertain is a thought directly from God. Why would we want to go around in circles with a belief instead of having the absolute perfect reflection of the real isness, which is God. Are we satisfied with the results of anything unlike God? Is there any permanence to it? Or is it just a fleeting illusion? Is it fantasy land? God is not fantasy land. God is real, because God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. Incorporeal. No concept of a so-called material body. Divine means it's perfect. These are qualities of God. It is perfect, refers to the one and only isness, which is God. And what is supreme? Think of a supreme authority. That's God. The only supreme authority. So in addition to being incorporeal, divine, and supreme, the textbook includes the word infinite. No boundaries, no measurement, because it's beyond measurement. No time, because time is a measurement. A measurement of a belief. And if that's not enough to tell you what God is, Mary Baker Eddy breaks it down with seven terms that cover every department of existence. Mind is anything to do with the mental thought. And thought, of course, is the source of action. Spirit is the only substance. So any action has to be a spiritual action, because the substance of every action is spiritual, directly from spirit. Soul is the way we identify everything. Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting and smelling. But again, what is the only substance? Spirit. So the only way to identify anything is through senses, which are spiritual. That's the only isness there is for identification. Anything that is not a spiritual identifier is absent, unreal. It's a facade. It's not isness, it is nothingness. And what is principle? Everything operates according to its principle. There's only one real principle, which is all-inclusive. Because God is omni-principle, God is the one, only, and all-principle. If we are doing an activity that is a reflection of the goodness of God, it's operating under the divine principle of God. Divine meaning perfect. Remember, that is the second adjective in the definition of God from page 465 of the textbook, which is the chapter entitled Recapitulation, which is recapitulating, meaning summarizing, all of the important points of the first 13 chapters. And after chapter 14 is the section of the textbook entitled Key to the Scriptures. So chapter 15, which is on Genesis, which is about the so-called beginning of thought, and Revelation, or the Apocalypse, which is the end of thought, and then comes the glossary, which is understanding the words because they are all defined in their spiritual nature that are in the Bible. And then the testimonies, the fruitage that comes from this operation from beginning to end of the action of God. So what is summarized in chapter 14, recapitulation, is very critical to understand, because that's the foundation for the key. The sequence of the chapters in Science and Health are not ad hoc, but a divine revelation in itself. As Maybaker Eddy became more clear in her individual revelation, she refined not only the terms that she used in the textbook, but the order in which they were presented. So the final edition, which is edition number 432, that is the cream. And the cream rises to the top. That is what is supreme. That is what is divine. And that is what does open the door to infinity. Left open for everyone individually to have the opportunity to discover the correct understanding of everything about what is. Are we going to be concerned about a measurement of math, about whether something is possible or not? In common language, that's called the odds. And what does even the word odd or odds imply? It means it's something that is not common. It's odd. O-D-D. The only thing that is real is something that is not confined by finity. It is infinite. Reality is infinite. God is infinite. The reflection of God is infinite. The reflection by a single idea of God is not infinite, but it reflects the qualities of God. And the infinite is a conglomeration of all qualities of God, of all ideas of God, of all manifestations of God. That's why a single individual cannot be infinite, but everything together represents infinity. And that keeps growing according to our individual understanding of the infinite. We never need to be concerned about running out of God's ideas or the possibilities with God, because everything is infinite with God. There is no finiteness with the infinite. God is infinite. So there's no finiteness with the possibilities of God. And the term possibilities is used only to give a clue that it is available no matter what it is, if it's goodness. But us being able to see it is an individual experience. Andrew Carnegie, a very well-known trainer of success, said we never want to make a strong statement about something because tomorrow we may have an expanded view of reality and disagree totally with what we previously thought was absolutely the truth. If we have ascended above the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, then we are in a position to be realizing and living the absolute truth. And if that's the case, there would be not a benefit whatsoever of listening to this recording, because you would be the representative of truth already. You would be experiencing the isness of God completely, unequivocally, living in the infinite. Should we be concerned about possibilities versus impossibilities? In other words, the word odds, a calculation of whether something is true or not true, or something is going to be revealed or not be revealed. There's only one thing our focus should be on, and that is isness. That has nothing to do with odds, because isness is fact. And that's what the word is, the first operator in the system of divine metaphysics that is referred to by Mary Baker Eddy on page 146, where she states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Think about the word disease. It is a dis-ease. Anything that is a dis-ease, in other words, it's not harmonious, it's not balanced, and therefore it's not real. It's not godlike. It's not even being possible to approach the consciousness of God. It is absent the reflection of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. It's hogwash. It's a facade. It's a false suggestion that may be appearing real, but is not. It is not part of God's isness. And she follows up on page 330 of the textbook by stating this: when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And she gives the 32 planks from page 330 to page 340. Anyone that ignores what has just been read from page 146 and 330 is limiting their own possibilities of understanding the textbook. And Mary Baker Eddy has stated the full statement of Christian Science is in the textbook. Not how to understand it, but the statement of the fact. How to understand it is an entirely different story. That's why she wrote the group of 16 books. To elaborate on how to understand the textbook. There is a button on the website that is entitled Heal Everything. It gives specific instructions, the procedure on how to progress methodically and systematically in one's spiritual growth. And there's only one way to do that, and that is to be on the path of infinite progression, pointing towards concrete being. And that means the system of divine metaphysics is being individually experienced. And that can only be done one way, and that is individually making the commitment and doing it with systematic, methodical steps. As Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Do we need to have a fear about the odds? Is it possible to measure God? What kind of a measuring device would you have to measure the infinite? If you can come up with a positive answer about utilizing a finite concept to measure the infinite, send us a message. We have a secure private message system by just clicking the contact button in the lower section of the menu. It's secure and private. You can say anything that you think you have been revealed to hear and understand. We've yet to receive the first one, so maybe you will be it. So it closes this paragraph by saying, if your endeavors are beset by fearful odds, and you receive no present reward, go not back to error, nor become a sluggard in the race. It says, and receive no present reward. What was in the first part of this paragraph? It says, occupy till I come. And we went into an extensive explanation of that in the early part of this recording. So don't revert back to a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. And don't become a sluggard in the race. That means an habitually lazy person. And the explanation follows. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will discern the good you have done and receive according to your deserving. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified. There it is. In detail, the experience one must go through to work out their own salvation and when one thinks that they are wasting their time and they are exasperated because they see, what does it say here? No present reward. It says, occupy till I come. Keep on the track of truth, working out the salvation. And remember what Isaiah says, which in short means step by step. Mary Baker Eddy states, don't expect to have miracles overnight, because one is working on overcoming a lifelong barrage of mortal mind suggestions, which is a lie upon lie compounded, because we have to root them out one by one. And when we dig down to the root and bring the whole thing up to the surface, lay it down in the sun, which is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Any sense of materiality will disappear of its own nothingness. And then the only thing left is truth. Like the first introductory quote to the textbook, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There are three quotes at the beginning of the textbook. And if you looked carefully at the third quote and relate it to the first two, for it is a summary of the first two. It is a quote by Mary Baker G. Eddy. She dropped the G, which represented one of her names, Glover, thinking it was too long. So she offers this for consideration. And everything in the textbook is offered for consideration, because we have to accept it. We have to open consciousness. We have to examine it individually. We have to prove it to be true for ourselves. Then, and only then, can we totally accept it? Can we totally have the confidence that did Frederick L. Rawson, when he was looking out the window back about 115 or so years ago with another Christian Scientist by the name of Spalding? Both of them are on our website as authors. Rawson and Spalding. And Mr. Rawson observed a cart being pulled by an animal. It was a very rare thing to have motorized trucks in that time frame. And the cart that was being pulled was full of rocks. And for some reason, the driver felt uneasy about the tailgate. So he stopped the animal and got out of the driver's seat and went back to examine the tailgate. And when he was back there, something alarmed the animal. The animal raised up and dumped the entire load of rocks on the driver. Probably to a material sense of things, he was probably dead in material terms. Dead. His heart stopped. His bones were all crushed. Who knows? But he probably would have been considered dead. And as Mr. Rawson observed it, his thinking was refuting the visible picture and looking deep below to the reality that was the real isness. And he stated these few words: there is nothing but God. As soon as he stated those words, the man rocketed out from underneath the pile of rocks, completely free of any supposed belief of imperfection that could have been attached to him. Mr. Rawson recognized that God is impervious to accident or injury or death, and therefore his reflection cannot be influenced by any of those so-called mortal beliefs. Did Mr. Rawson just say, five words? Or did he express his understanding about the first quote as an introduction to the textbook? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't you think that's what he knew unequivocally, emphatically, without question? And he was only expressing it for the purpose and the benefit of the thought of anyone that may have observed it, including but not limited to Mr. Spaulding, who was a Christian Scientist that was standing right next to him. It's like one of the Bible stories. Where the individual was surrounded by 10,000 of the king's men that came to arrest him. And he said to his servant who had come to him in fear, telling him about the situation, And he told the servant, there is more with us than there is with them. He didn't say that to convince himself. He said that to state what he understood to be truth. God is absolute, isness. Nothing else is real or has power that is in conflict, that can oppose or defeat or compare in any way to what really is. There will be a short prayer treatment that was given to the College of Metaphysics by Mary Baker Eddy in the last class of that college was in 1898, and that final class only included students that were individually invited to attend, and when they successfully completed the class, they were given the certification of Doctorate of Christian Science, CSD. She gave them 7 prayer treatments, 1 for each of the 7 synonymous terms for God. I shall recite 1 of them to you right now, and that will be the conclusion of this prayer recording. Thank you for listening. Here is the prayer from Mary Baker Eddy entitled Diapason of Heaven for Love. It is only the first part, and you can refer to the website and see the entire presentation on this prayer. Declare often, love is my God, and my God is love. Good is my God, and my good is love. Love is my God, and my love is good. Love is my principle, and my principle is love. Love is the law of my being. Divine love is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. This is the Word of God. Amen. It is 25-07-20 at 04-32, Sunday morning. This is the end of this recording. Thank you.